forever. Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
Maybe this is good for her.
That's you, like, be you, girl. You be you. You're on your journey.
That's like really brave.
I can't do your journey for you.
What were you yelling when you were under the train?
I was just like, cheese, cheese.
Yeah, I thought that could have been.
And
like,
then also, but I'm like, but I'm overwhelmed.
When
I finished the show, mm-hmm. I was this little ratty thing hiding in trash cans. But I was also really like, I felt a bit negative, and mm-hmm. I felt and I was like, all these positive things have happened, and there I was feeling sort of like. Burned out and I felt not unappreciative, but
people
like I
like,
couldn't
what a great year
things.
And you were like, get and away was, from me.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who has so many things to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it was actually very difficult because I was like, ugh. So I needed to find a way of on my Eat, Pray, Love tour, you know, doing things. And on, so this is my egg story. Mm-hmm. This year, on my father's anniversary, I'd never really done anything for it.
Your father passed away how many years ago?
Yes, so he died must be 33 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
But 2 years ago, I wrote an article for The Guardian about his suicide, and I'd never really talked about it much growing up. And the article sort of went viral, and I'd had kind of a full on kind of 2 years of just a lot of, and I'm extremely grateful that people would send messages and stuff, mm-hmm. but just a lot of kind of messages about suicide and people's pain into a lot of my social media stuff. And I'm really grateful for all of it. It's made me a better person and so much more empathetic. And also people didn't look a certain way or weren't from a certain background or political leaning or suicide affects everyone, yeah. every age, every gender, every socioeconomic background. Mm-hmm. But obviously a lot of men way more. But
really?
Massively. So in America and the UK and Ireland, suicide is the biggest killer of men under 45. So not
Whoa.
Heart attacks, not car crashes,
Whoa.
Not diabetes. That is what kills men under 45.
Wow.
And so I learned a lot, but
do you know what that is linked to when it?
I mean,
I know in Switzerland, actually my uncle killed himself, mm-hmm. and in Switzerland, in Switzerland, the way that I always thought about it was like that it's linked to this idea of like normalcy that like my mom's mom was never really receptive to us. And it was part of I don't know that my mom would love me talking about this, but let's find out if she's listening. that my grandmother was kind of racism. Like she, there's this idea of like what a normal Swiss person is and looks like. And it was like,
yeah.
we didn't fit that.
So
and
fostering
I think that
an inner sort of self-hate without knowing. And also every generation, like I'm so lucky. I have, my dad was brought up in Catholic Ireland mm-hmm. in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. I have access to conversations like this.
Yeah.
I have access.
Yes.
He was a very educated vet, and I probably have thousands of words more than him to describe how I'm feeling. So
yeah.
when I got burnt out during the summer, I knew how to talk about it to people, probably talked about it too much. But like I had all of these words to try and help me out of it.
Yeah.
And the not having access to the words to describe how you feel. And similarly with
and
your...
And not feeling like it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah, and
so
similarly
isolated.
With your granny, you might think, oh God, yeah. I would never do that now. And it's like, no, of course you wouldn't, because you have all of the stuff that you've been given generationally and culturally.
Yeah.
And a world where it's open and not weird to talk about it and record it into a podcast.
Yeah.
And she didn't know. And I think each generation has their trauma and passes it on. And I suppose what I wanted to do, and this will bring me to my egg story, I promise. I know people are like, just get to the egg bit, bitch.
4:15. Is she talking about egg, yolk, whites?
And so part of what I wanted to do, I suppose, even writing the article and then mm-hmm. making my show, which deals with a few similar issues, was I was like, oh, generationally, with this sort of like dark ink that trickles down our family tree in a way. Mm-hmm. It was like the book stops with me in some real physical manifesty way. And so on his anniversary this year, I decided to do like a little ceremony, a non-religious poetry reading ceremony in my garden for all of my friends who'd lost parents, because loads of my friends have lost parents, and in a sense all of us younger than we might have expected. And some of them were in the last year, some of them were. My friend Carrie Ed Lloyd has an amazing podcast called Griefcast, so if anyone is listening in, not to big up another podcast while on a podcast,
go to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, come back to my podcast, rate it 5 stars, review mine, review theirs. Griefcast
by Carrie Ed Lloyd. Are you back? Welcome back. I hope you're not crying.
Buy things.
Buy things, pants. For the blood, you just want to let out.
Please pay me.
I'd say they would send you some free ones to try out.
Let's find out.
A little influencer like you. Oh. Oh, God.
Get me to the egg, but first.
I genuinely love things pants, by the way. I just can't say enough about them. They're just, I haven't bought a sanitary towel or a tampon.
I genuinely
years.
Love tushies. Mm-hmm. Blast that water up your butt and mm-hmm. squirt it out. Oh, it's tushy.
So yes, I had this ceremony in my garden, and it was for all of my pals who'd lost someone. And we all read out a poem, and we put together like a playlist of songs that people reminded them of their person.
That is so sweet. Baby, you can come in and listen to the story.
Oh, come in, Shauna, come in. Or maybe, yeah. Oh, what's Shauna?
It is Shauna. Shauna, you can come in. Aisling's talking about, when did you do the...
So this was a, oh my God, what are we looking at here, Shauna? Oh my God. But look at this. Am I at an actual hotel? I thought we'd be all outside, but you've brought...
You can put a towel down?
A little napkin.
No, I know, but I'm going to bring you a little tray.
Oh my
tray.
God, this looks delicious. I can't handle how well
Describe
I'm being treated in this
at.
House. I am looking at... would you call these tortellini?
Oh yeah, they got little
the ones
spinach
I
inside.
Love. They're my favorite type of pasta.
They're so yummy.
That's a surprise I can get on board with. Like, oh, pasta! Wait a minute, she's hidden something inside.
Filled with tasty pockets of taste. Oh,
spinach, yes, please. Mushrooms, yes.
Aw, these two Irish girls.
Just two Irish girls
one
eating
Irish
Italian
girl
food. Oh
a
my
meal to
God!
The...
No, thank you. I'm
babe. Can I have a hot toddy?
Oh my
but also,
God.
Can you listen to this thing that Aisling did? Yeah.
So, just to recap for Shauna, last week on yeah. Aisling's egg story, this year was the first year I decided to celebrate my dad's death in a way on his anniversary. And so in my garden, and I got a new garden, kind of like what you're doing here with your house,
yeah.
in my house in London. And I decided to have everyone into my garden who'd also lost a parent this year. Oh my God, what's happened? Has a dog, what has the dog eaten?
Is it dog puke? Yeah, he
just did a big... Oh my God, I can tell you don't like the story, but like there's kinder ways. Oh no, not you, the dog.
The dog is like, honestly, I like the vulnerability, but it's taking too long for me to find out about this egg.
I know, and I keep on forgetting. I'm like, what is the egg?
Honestly,
oh yeah.
It is, it could not be written more comic how many times you've been interrupted in this very sweet
I story. Actually can't see that at the moment, Shauna, just because I need to look at my cheesy pasta soon and... Oh, doggy, why did you do that? I remember one time there's an actor called Russell Tovey, he's brilliant, and he is a dog that's very like him. And we did a chemistry read for a job I ended up not getting. But as I was reading with him the scenes, the dog vomited. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I see. I was like, that's
I know what you think.
Acting. Right, okay, I'm going to try and not see it as a sign, but
is
I also didn't
EP?
Get the job.
Because.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, yes.
Celebrating your dad, but then everyone who had lost someone, they made a playlist in the garden of her spot in London.
And we all kind of read out a poem about kind of like saying goodbye and love and family. And it was really gorgeous. And it was just sort of a real... Also, you just never know, like quite a large group of different personalities, and you just never know who's going through something at a certain time or what sort of things bring someone to who they are, and the all different types of deaths, people who had complicated relationships with parents, people who like just can't bear to move on because they just miss that person so much, and all of this. Anyways, I decide to, we'd all get little flowers and seeds, and we'd all write something that we could ask a little for something from our loved one up in the skies, and then put that in a plant pot And because it was like that, I got that paper that's got seeds in it, and so we'd all write, like, you could write whatever you want, $1 million or a new hat, mm-hmm. and we'd bury that, and so little flowers would grow up. So I had this pot in my garden, and I took away the top bit of soil to put them all into, and inside was a perfect egg.
No.
Randomly, just an egg inside this pot. And at first I was like, guys, this is a joke. It's kind of a dark joke. And I live on my own. There's no way I would have put an egg. But it's an uncooked egg that was just perfectly sat in the pot, unbroken. So it wasn't hard boiled, where you could understand. It was an uncooked egg. And I went, guys, look at this egg. And as I held the egg up to everyone, it exploded in my hand.
No.
It exploded. And like all of the sulfur and stuff had been, it just went pow, like that.
No fucking
in
way.
In my hand. And
hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
It was just, I think it had been there for so long, and the sulfur in it.
And it was magic from your dad?
Potentially, but we all were trying hard not to see it as a sign from something.
Why?
Because then Roisin, who's one of my friends, who's a brilliant stand-up, Roisin Connaty, she started Googling, like, what does it mean to find an egg? And they're like, the egg means like the rebirth of a new life and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's just this egg was just randomly in this pot in my house. And
but
I put
rebirth
the soil.
Sounds really cool if
rebirth
you're celebrating.
And letting things go, and it just like exploding in my hand. And it was, I literally went, look, guys. Yes, exactly. And everyone's different parents and their connection. And we'd all just put in our little cards, like what we'd like. But it was so, and also, there's no one else in my house. This pot I'd filled with soil, and suddenly there was this egg in it. And then some people were like, oh, apparently foxes go stealing eggs. And from like the trash can.
But how does a fox's mouth so delicately?
Delicately, and it was buried really deep down in this pot, and it was really like. Also, can you imagine your dog holding an egg all the way to the kitchen with its two paws? Like, how does it? You know, it's just not possible. And also, it wasn't hard boiled. It was like and it just exploded. And it was one of those real moments where I was like, oh my god! And we were like, bloody hell! It was hard not to see. And then I was like, maybe I'll start an egg cult. And the main thing will be eggs. That'll be my brand. Also, Shona, this, oh my God, like delicious. The most delicious food in the world. Oh no, I'm grand.
Okay.
All right,
I will maybe return with the hot tender.
Yeah, do it. Oh, I dare you.
Your waitress is brilliant.
I married her for her service skills.
Where do I get me one? She's brilliant. Oh my God, I'm loving this house.
Server's wife school. Who are we looking for your love interest in your real life?
Oh, I don't know. I tend to
date actors.
I tend to not talk about that anymore.
Oh, because you used to talk about it on podcasts. And
no.
Wait, are you dating someone now?
I won't go into it now.
Oh, that's great. I like
record.
That. I mean, that's like a hot look.
Do you know what it
whether
is?
Whether you're
it's
dating,
just,
whether you're not dating.
Yeah, I just want to be real mysterious and elusive.
And honestly, that's the sexiest way to go.
Yeah, only because also, like I haven't been.
For the record, I'm not talking about my life either.
Whoa.
Step
tell
back.
That to your wife when she comes in with her hot daddy.
I don't know if we're dating anymore. I could be single. I could be married. I could
she
be ready to
She seems to really
mingle.
Like you. Mm. Do you think your wife knows that you might not be married?
I think we should tell her when she brings the hot toddy.
Yeah, I think we should. As a surprise. Oh my God, this pasta is the first thing I've eaten all day, and I am just in such good form about it.
You're such a perfect pod guest.
Oh, pod guest.
And do you were a little
we're
baby when
eggs,
your daddy
baby.
Go
yes.
Went, and that.
Yeah, my dad was.
I mean, I'm. Yeah.
So next year I'll be 36 and I'll be the same age he was when he died. And that's like
oh my God.
One of the poems that one of my friends, Bobby, at the thing read out was this poem called The Day I Outlived My Father.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad passed away when he was 12. And when he got to the age his dad was, it was a real like, oh, everything after this. And I think myself and my sister one, we've always been very like, gotta get everything done. We could be dead tomorrow. We've got to be quick, make as many opportunities as possible. Of course, write a show while you're also in another show. Do as many things. Because you don't have that much time. And to lean into that you do have time has been a bit of a like getting my head around that. And to realize, like I was saying, because it's all looping back to the same message. If you think I'm rambling, it is actually coming back around to a point.
Nobody thinks you're rambling. If they do, get out.
Get out of this podcast.
You hear me?
You ugly. You're ugly. And your mother ugly. And your sister ugly. You just plain old ugly.
And you know it. Inside and out, honey. Walk the plank, Batilda.
Oh my God. I really... Now that was a surprise. And I liked that one.
I think you've learned on this podcast that you like surprises.
Little manageable ones.
Manageable memorizes.
Memorizes. But big up memorizes, I'm not a big fan of those.
And that you have a long, luscious life. And that you've turned all of your periods into blockbuster hits.
Yes. Period dramas.
That is the, you know, like all the sad things. The most beautiful part of our... what we do is turning the sad things into little goody goodies.
Yes, and it can feel counterintuitive a lot of the time to rewrite the story or the narrative, where I know I definitely felt growing up in my 20s that my father died when I was a kid was my story, and that's what made me me, and it's what made me a strong woman. And to let go of that was a real... To let go of your story.
To let go of it, to reclaim it from...
To just let go of the narrative you've created. Because I think it's that sort of thing, like we were saying earlier on, if I wasn't a comedian or an actor on a TV show, who would I even be? If I wasn't a doctor or a whatever, you know, that we get defined by our stories and our jobs. And actually, you can really get held back by that, because you think, would I be anyone without it?
Leaning into it in a way that is like your identity. It's never, you're so much, always so much more layered than that. I was talking to Patricia Heaton, Patty. About
your co-star on what's the name of the show again?
Carol,
Sabrina?
Second Act, 9:30 on CBS, baby.
Wonderful.
About the layers of like when I started doing stand-up, I was 16, and the world around me—that's 17 years ago. The world around me was, you know, if you're of race, you are talking about race. Russell Peters was like huge, and that's what I was doing, impressions of my dad, and that felt important and big, and like I was doing it. Then I moved to New York, and it's like, bitch, put away your hacky tacky. We do not want to hear this story about your dad picking you up from elementary school, you grown woman in New York.
Yeah,
but it was like, it was, you know, the times had changed, and it was like Aziz Ansari and Kumail Nanjiani, here are these people that like are people outside of their race, and they're not leaning into that. And then now I think like the current president is like medium. Kumail's big sick win, which is Kumail he is his own person and he's falling in love, but then the layers of the context, like his physiology has all sorts of flavor and cumin, you know?
I went through a while where I found it really, I was like, oh God, I don't want to talk about being Irish because it's hack. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I love talking about this. This is how I see the world as an immigrant going around, and that's okay. And you can sort of come back to where you're like, actually, it is a
everything
happy
about me is the perfect me, and it's not about like I'm the this comic, or maybe it is for you, but like I think the most profound is when it's like every part of you,
and but you also that you don't have to be one thing, that you can play to families and people who love that sort of stories, and sometimes people just want to hear how are you like me, and it's normally dad and mom stuff, and that's okay. And then other times you can do jokes about something so specific and weird, and you're actually a perfect example of that. You really mix. I loved when Sabrina and I did our Netflix tapings together,
the comedy lineup.
The comedy lineup, you'll find myself and Sabrina,
you'll find
in the same
Ashlyn B spelled A-I-S,
but you know, you could talk about having a baby and being gay, but also sexualizing men, but also where you're from, and you could also be weird and silly and enthusiastic and serious, and that you don't have to fit into one thing either.
The healthiest realization, potentially the best of all the lessons.
Yeah, like even you... what a Christmas is to you, what a family is to you.
Lessons!
Whoa, lessons, man, I love them. That you are going to spend Christmas with your family if you were to... define what a family is by a sort of like, let's sell apples and oranges on American network TV. What you are doing this Christmas, well, it would not look like that. And
I love the America that's selling apples and oranges. Oh, no. Like, it's like, we'll be back from entertainment tonight, right after this.
Hi, we're the Orchard Company, and we want to get more of America selling apples and oranges.
Bite in, chew down, juice up if it's an orange, but bite a lot if it's an apple.
I really thought, I was like, you know
but
what?
Yeah, letting
I can't
go.
Think of anything quickly, but we'll skim over it and no one will notice. And then suddenly, apples and oranges. What?
Chew an apple. It sounds like this.
Oh my God, of all the times that dog stopped chewing that bone. Hey, that's one grungy apple, Sabrina.
It's the core, Aisling. It's the core.
And that's how you live forever, dog.
Oh. Yeah, like if I was trapped into thinking what a normal family... What happened?
Father?
Another ghost?
Potentially.
Did it sound like a ghost noise or Shauna sliding my hot toddy under the door?
Wife, yeah.
That's the shallowest mug I've ever seen. We are married.
Tonight on Entertainment Tonight, we reveal that Sabrina's wife is actually married to her.
You know what? We're going to watch it after this. I mean, if you can stick around, it's airing now, but they apparently...
I saw a clip online where you did a cartwheel.
I did so many cartwheels. Well,
oh
know
my
what
God,
happened?
I loved it so much.
I did. So Ashley Tisdale, pop star icon,
yes,
my
your
friend.
Your friend.
We went for coffee and whenever we go walk down this
I
row,
saw this.
It's
yes.
tabloid. So it's like my new obsession, like truly feels like as good as catching a fish.
Yeah.
When you're fishing, you sit all day.
I know
for
that
feeling,
Sabrina.
It's like, I know what the bait is. It's Ashley Tisdale. Mm-hmm. So do you know that feeling? Do you like fishing?
No.
Okay.
I've never fished. I was just trying to yes and you.
Yes and me, please. Okay. Do you know what spec stands for?
Speculary.
Okay.
Okay.
Catching a fish. Okay. So I see the fish, the tabloid pull up. They're taking pictures of Ashley. I do a cartwheel. It is on dailymail.co.uk, international news, 2,000 word essay on like, then Ashley continued to walk. Her pal Sabrina did a playful cartwheel. Then
Sabrina was wearing shoes from.
Yes, exactly. It was so thrilling. It was like, it was so cool. And then when I show up to this Entertainment Tonight thing, all of their copy is like, the queen of cartwheels. And it's like,
oh
my shit.
God.
I slipped into the news cycle by doing a cartwheel and now I'm the queen of
also
cartwheels.
Also by novelty. I think what's really lovely when you exist in these worlds that can be very serious and everything very planned and corporate to an extent. And we come from comedy where to be silly and wake people up in a sense by doing something. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you also...
I love your dancing in the show.
Oh my God, I love dancing so much. And also joyfully, you have to... My favorite thing about stand-up is when you realize people in the audience have forgotten what they're supposed to look like anymore. Like I often think laughing, nobody actually looks more attractive when they laugh. They're like... Blah.
Yes, yeah.
And if you're thinking about how you look and are presented... it's not a true laugh. So when you look into the audience and everyone's looking sort of uglier for laughing, I love that feeling. And there's something about comedy where you're like, you can be ugly and like just like uglify yourself or be weird and twisty and
You're ugly and your mother ugly and your sister ugly.
Reclaim
you just plain old ugly.
Reclaim ugly.
Reclaim ugly. And just the sort of like silliness of being alive and moving your body and not sort of being so rigid. And when you lean into that, it's almost like everyone's been dying to do that too. Like all of the Entertainment Tonight people must be dying.
I do think it was like
a
trickle down of like me going for coffee with Ashley. I do a cartwheel. It becomes like I'm out. It's like people are writing. Somehow gets sent out into the world. And then I get called to do this Entertainment Tonight thing.
Oh my God.
And then there I am. And then I'm doing cartwheels. And I forget what
it is. And it's all you. It's all pure.
Oh, and then they,
Sabrina.
So the episode, they like, apparently my mother-in-law, she's in the East Coast. She's like, so Shauna and Wolfie have made their TV debut. And it's like, wait, what? Like, I think that they show pictures of my family. And it's like, did Entertainment Tonight just do a tribute to me because I did a cartwheel when I went for coffee? Because fuck yes.
But also, do you know what? They did a tribute to your most pure self.
Silence, Earthling.
What did that one say?
Silence, Earthlings.
Oh.
Hollywood scoop.
Be your true self. Be your true self. Be your true self. Do a cartwheel.
Lean into who you
have
want.
A friend that's a pop star.
Be in alignment.
Yeah.
Cool. But that is when I saw that picture. It was so purely you. It was who you are. And that's what I loved about it. It was just like, I've gotten really used to now. I used to be a bit sad, like if I get pictured at something laughing or being silly. And this, this year, actually, myself and my friends went to the GQ Awards, and the GQ magazine, you know, it's like that. And there were so many like celebs at it, like real, like the Beckhams and, you know, like Kylie Minogue and just like the people tip-tops. Who are the like tip tops.
Yeah.
And it was, I was at a table with myself, Roisin Conaty, my friend who's a stand-up, my friend Hannah Scott, who's a brilliant, Hannah James Scott, who's a brilliant actress, and her brother Andrew Scott, who's hot priest in Fleabag.
Oh, cool.
And we're there just finding it hilarious and the whole thing. And all we want is to be invisible for 1 minute so we can look around and go, oh my God, look at all the people.
Yeah.
But we're trying to pretend to be cool. I have my hair professionally done and my makeup and everything. We all do the red carpet. We give it a bit of like, hey, and all try and look a bit sexy. And then we have our free drinks, free espresso martinis. We're at the back of the room. We're all having a laugh. And then afterwards we go outside to go on to an after party and we don't know there's any photographers near. And all of the songs come out. And myself and Russell Tovey, who I talked about earlier, whose dog puked when I was acting, we hear this music come on and we start twerking in the street. And the next day, the papers picked up a picture of me with my arse out, twerking away, but you can't see Russell. So it looks like I'm twerking on my own. And then there's this other picture where the four of us, myself, Hannah, Andrew, and Roisin, are walking to our cars and we look so... like not ugly, but we don't, we're no bit of us is thinking about how we look.
Yeah.
And we're holding I'm holding hands at Roisin. I'm really drunk. And I remember at the time she was saying like, why now, what car am I going in? And I'm like, Roisin, you'll always be my friend. We don't have to worry about that. And Andrew and Hannah, who are sister and brother, she was being super little sister in the picture, being like, make sure you stick your big GQ award into that bag now so you don't drop it. And he's like, leave me alone. And it was just so... the four of us as our true selves, not the red carpet pretends. And it really, even though it was not my most attractive, it was not my most poised,
it's God, most it was myself.
I was like, that's pretty much me in a set. Like, that's more me than all the kind of like sassy kind of like wry smiles on the red carpet. So sometimes...
So you're also a little bit into it.
The after bit, what I loved about it so much.
Because you're more famous, like, what's the famous level of, like, will you get photo, like...
not really, no. I think comedians, people don't really care too much about, like, if I'm, like you with Ashley, like, I think people are like, oh, comedians, but ultimately they're into the sort of more foddery people. I don't think that anyone would care that I'm eating this bowl of pasta, for example. Ashley.
Well, I'm taking pictures anyway.
Oh my God, Sabrina!
Selling them.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
any spicy tips before we sail into the sunset? I want to have you back because I feel like I still need to know so much about you, but we both have to go places tonight.
I also want to know loads about you. Your journey, so we have to do here, this to where again. You are, your beautiful family, home, and life. I love it so much. I feel so welcome and warmed in your whole, not just your environment, but here's the thing. I hate hearing people eating, so I don't want to. May I put pasta chewing into this?
I'm going to lace it through. I'm going to actually get room tone of you chewing and then lace it through the whole podcast because that's the bitch I am.
So I remember I'd met you before in Montreal with Mae Martin, our mutual lovely friend.
Yeah.
But when we were doing those Netflix 15-minute things.
In Atlanta.
I hadn't had the best of... months, my friend's baby had passed away,
really
in like, and then suddenly you're giving this opportunity, like, go do comedy.
Oh my God.
And I remember being like,
we were in opposites. My baby was just born, and you had just had
your new baba. So, and well, it was just to see them go through everything. Oh, it was just really, and also I just felt like I'd lost this little friend.
How
I had
old was the baby?
He was 2.5.
Oh my God.
And again, another perfect example of people, their whole family attacks everything with love. I've never seen anything like it. But I remember being like, God, is any of this real? Like, here's again an opportunity to do a Netflix series as like a little Irish comedian coming to do something. Like, so what a big deal. And yet there's nothing. It felt really like, not vacuous, but just sort
like
of.
You were watching the movie of it, but you weren't in it.
Oh my God, that is the perfect description. But the one thing, and this is the bit that I remember from it the most, is you and Michelle Buteau. And it's not like I was telling you guys what was going on, but you guys were so extra kind and silly. And with your energy, you were both, I don't think you know the energy that you and Michelle both give out, which is so non-judgmental, so incredibly kind, and I just feel welcome without needing to be told I'm welcome. And I didn't feel silly or weird, you know, because a lot of people are there and we're all thinking about our careers in some way. We're all thinking, oh God, am I doing, you know, we all get involved in our own sets and our own work. But I was like on edge, the sort of, while we were doing it. And also I was in someone else's country and I was like, oh God, well, the American audiences like my stuff, or, you know, I just didn't, I felt a bit odd anyways. But you and Michelle were so joyfully welcoming. I felt like, oh, I'm in their house and that's great. Like, I feel like, aww, I feel now with my like little hot bag and your wife, beautiful wife, Sean, just making me this like, oh my God, delicious food. And the, yeah, just couldn't put a price on it. But if I had to, $1,000.
$1,000?
Really? No. Priceless, just gorgeous. So yes.
Well, you are always welcome in my house and I love you.
Oh my God.
And I feel like it's so, that was just not even a thought because your energy is so open and, yeah, what a sweet time, my friend.
Just two girls trying our best. Just two little immigrants.
Just two little immigrants trying to say about the right way.
Yeah. About, about.
About.
About. Well, it's about time we let America get back to their thinks pants and apples and oranges.
That's right.
Duh. Winning.
You are an idiot.
That one's to the haters. Now, I would have to say, as we digress, the E.T. Hollywood tip today has been connect and be nice and share your energy.
Love that.
Don't hide behind a character.
Oh.
Drop in. Eat an egg, watch it explode. Anything
and
else?
Also, if you do, if you're looking for somewhere to put your egg, don't come into my garden and leave it well hidden in a pot in my house. It'll freak me out.
It'll
when I find
freak
it.
Her right out. And watch This Way Up on Hulu.
Oh, please.
Watch Living With Yourself on Netflix. We know you already are, but just keep on doing it. And if you're going through a hard year, stay the fuck away from my baseboards, all right, you rat? Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.